Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, things have been a little bit crazy. And also with, I don't know about you, Heather, but my kids just got out of school. We've been trying to adjust a little bit. So it's good to be back, though.
Yeah, it is good to be back. I had a family that lost their son, so we had to deal with the funeral and things like that several weeks. So I appreciate everyone's patience as we had to reschedule a couple times, especially those in the Thriving Marriage group that are watching us live as we stream on Facebook. If you're not a member yet of that group, I encourage you guys to go check that out. We have one of the largest, fastest growing online marriage resources. It's an incredible community, and that's the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. And if you're watching us live or watching later, you can go ahead and leave some comments because we always love to hear from you and really interact with you during these podcasts so that we can give you help that is the most applicable to what you're going through right now. So today, Mark, we're going to talk about how to save your marriage without therapy. I found this a really interesting topic, and we actually did a poll in our Thriving Marriage Facebook group, and I'm just going to quickly share the results of that, and then we'll go to our client win. So in the results, we asked, we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think. Do you think a marriage can be saved without therapy? So we had 59 people say, yes, it can. We had 25 people say, I don't know. And we had 16 people say, no, I don't think so. So kind of all across the spectrum here, including some comments of, you know, I think therapy does not work, coaching might work. And like Christine here said, if one doesn't want to, nothing helps. So we're going to talk about some of those maybe challenges or misperceptions that we might have about therapy, about coaching, and about what is the right solution for you in your situation. Before we get to that, though, we're going to share our client win of the week. This one comes from Tim. Mark, you want to share Tim's success here?
Sure. Yeah. So Tim says, Hi, Thrive Coaching is doing some things different. The last 3 days that my coach said to do, when it comes to texting her. So a little bit worded odd, but like basically, hey, some of our coaches helped him with some texts. Anyways, Tim goes on, it has made a big difference in her response. She used to not respond to my text if I asked her to call me. But with the changes I've made, she has failed only one time to call me. Like I said, the wording's a little bit off, but we got to get the gist. The big difference was me telling her to let me know if she wanted to talk. So I can see here Tim is listening to some of our advice and taking away some of the pressure. He goes on and says that I would love to hear how her day went. With some changes to the wording each day, she has not failed to call me. Send her a text that said, good morning, hope your morning is going good. Call me if you want to talk. She called and said that she wasn't going to call, but when she got the text, she decided to call. Guys and ladies, listen to your coach. So they know what they're talking about. I've been cussed out and called an MF-er and a GD... something, I don't know. So many times over the last 2 months that I lost count. In the last 3 days, she hadn't cussed me at me a single time. Again, listen and follow your coach's training. It works. I changed my narrative and she has started changing her. She was saying I was toxic to her. Now she is saying that we were toxic for each other. I never thought she was. The things have improved slightly the last 3 days. Gonna have faith that it keeps improving. Thank you, Coach Daphne, for the advice and training. Daphne is a great member of our team. We always get lots of good feedback from her, I think.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know that like even just the wording on a text message might seem like a really small thing, but you know, Mark and I, we've coached thousands of couples now and our team, and there's little things like that. We don't really call them like, some people might call it gimmicky or hacks, but it's really the intent behind the words that we choose. And when your spouse is pulling away from you, like Tim's wife has been, and has a really negative story or perception about you, it's crucial that we make every opportunity that we have with them to connect as effective as possible. And so we really do coach you, and we're going to go into coaching, difference between coaching and therapy, right? Coaching you on sometimes exactly what to say or how to say it, exactly what to text, how to respond to their reaction, so that you really are working on changing their story. And like he says, he's working on changing his story as well. So it's really awesome.
Yeah. So our topic today, Heather, we're saying how to save your marriage without therapy. I actually wanted to start with this disclaimer, because I don't want to imply at all like that we are against therapy. So I want to start off by saying, hey, I like therapy. Therapy is actually good. You know, like my background is in clinical therapy. You know, that's what I studied, you know, something many years ago. I know a lot of our audience, we get like an odd number of therapists in our program. I don't know if you've noticed that, Heather, but I know I've spoken with a number of therapists as clients.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy's not bad. And I just wanted to say that, because I know our topic today is about saving marriage without therapy. And it is very good in many cases. I do think that therapy has a place in marriage restoration in many cases. But I will say that it tends to have better outcomes. It tends to be better when both parties are really fully invested. I remember actually going through some classes on couples therapy, marriage and family therapy, things like that. And I remember my teacher telling me like this sort of idea, like, hey, if your client's partner is out, like if both partners don't really want this to happen, what are you doing? There's not a lot, there's nothing that you can really do. It was basically the conclusion. And I'm going to say that, you know, most therapists that I'm aware of, and there might be exceptions to this, would not really want to help restore a relationship when only one partner is invested. Now, granted, I know that many of you have probably sought out therapy and maybe had this circumstance, and maybe your therapist is helping you. I've also had a lot of therapists, you know, just kind of in the background. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys are all aware, but we talk to each other about clients and some. But I remember other, you know, like in some of these supervision meetings, actually talking about couples where one partner wasn't invested, and the conclusion that the group made, you know, this was many years ago before I started High Thrive, conclusion made is like, okay, let's help those clients let go of their marriage. Let's help those clients subtly come to a point where they can be okay without their relationship. And this is kind of the general position, is like, okay, if things are really bad, then you just, you try to subtly help them come to some acceptance. And that's, I don't think, like I said, I want to make the disclaimer, this is not going to be every therapist, but I do think that this is kind of the general consensus, and you know, with a lot of therapists and a lot of therapy groups. And that therapy, in my opinion, tends to be better when the relationship is relatively stable and it's not in crisis mode, as in there isn't one partner already at the door.
I would agree.
So, yeah, this is kind of where we are sitting with the topic today is, okay, here we have, like, it's just kind of expected when marriage trouble happens, we go to a therapist and we say, okay, let's go get marriage therapy. And I know a lot of our audience, Heather, it's not the right situation for that. You know what I mean?
Right. So just to be clear, you know, any step that we make in a positive direction is good. Yeah. But if it's something that's as important as our marriage or our health or something that's absolutely vital to our happiness and our future, then we want to really handle it with care and make sure that we're considering all options and being guided by what I consider that inner guidance system, right, inside of ourselves, of what's going to be the best solution for me and my family and my future. Instead of just assuming that there's only one direction to go. Now, because Mark and I, we consider ourselves the ICU, right, for marriages. And we help those that maybe therapists have abandoned or told there's no hope. I personally, speaking from my experience, having done this now for 6 years, we founded our company 6 years ago, and I have done masterclasses now with tens of thousands of people, and listening to what they've said their experience has been, more often than not, if you are coming to us, you've already tried therapy and found that it just wasn't very effective for a number of reasons. Now, I personally have done some therapy, and I found some therapists were terrible, and I found some that were really, really good and absolutely life-changing. So we're not saying that therapy is in itself bad. It's just making sure that you have the right guidance for you in your situation. Mark, it's not uncommon either for our clients to come to us. You know, I'm thinking of Kim, for example. She gave us permission to share her story years ago, that they were in therapy for 20 years, you know, 20 years trying to resolve problems and not making any ground. But then within just 4 or 6 months with us, they made incredible leaps and bounds. So with that being said, no matter where you go or what your path is, just make sure you're being really intentional about it. Our intention here at High Thrive Coaching, Mark and I and our team, is that we help you transform at a root level and that your life is better no matter what happens. And so that's where we really focus on, is getting you to a healthy and thriving place so that no matter what challenges you face, you're a better person through it. And when I'm just gonna give a little preface here. I know we're gonna go into the difference between therapy and coaching. Some people, what is the difference between counseling or coaching or therapy and coaching? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to share, like, when I was going through cancer, I had multiple experts. Okay. So we need to be a little bit mindful of the word expert, right? Mark and I, we consider ourselves experts, and therapists, you know, they'd also consider themselves experts, but I had multiple experts, you know, trained doctors tell me that I needed to abort my baby to save my life, and that I needed to do this and I needed to do that and all these things. And none of it resonated with me. None of it felt true or in alignment with my journey. And so I had to be very mindful of who I was listening to and what voices I chose to listen to. And all my, you know, many, many family members were against my decision. Many friends came to me and said, oh, you got to try this, you got to try that. And it was a very confusing time when I didn't have that connection to what my truth was and what my journey was. So I know for a lot of you guys, you get advice from your friends, you get advice from your parents, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's too late. You can't save your marriage if someone isn't willing to work with you, right? And I know many people have been told that by a therapist. It's too late. There's really nothing you can do. Let's just help you move on from this, right? And the bottom line is, if something inside of you is saying, I need to do this for me, I need to do this so that I don't live my life with regrets, and I don't really care what everyone else is saying, there's something inside of me that says, this is the path for me, then really listen to that. And if what Mark and I say isn't in alignment with you, fine, it's okay. But if it is, then we encourage you guys to listen to that and to take some action, whatever direction that voice leads you. So with that being said, be really mindful of who we turn to in these times and what results we really want at the end of the day. I know a lot, like Mark said, a lot of therapists, even coaches and other experts out there that say, okay, I've got the solution here, blah, 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 you know. But when you actually look at their marriage, you wouldn't want it. And I'm not saying Mark and I are perfect. In fact, I think we're pretty vulnerable about the challenges that we still have in our marriages, and that we are ever the students, never really the masters. But we have come a really long way in our individual marriages, and we've helped so many people transform as well. So if you're looking for someone that's like, I want that in my life, I want to be able to, like, holding their hands at age 80 in the park, you know, just smiling, happy and content with each other, I want that result, then model after someone who has that result, right? Or whatever that looks like. So be really mindful of, there's a difference between book knowledge, right? Which is important, but it has its limitations. Book knowledge versus they're living that result. They're living that truth. And I want to live it. I don't want just someone who knows it and isn't actually living it. I want someone who knows it and is living it, right? That's so much more powerful. So that being said, Mark, what do you feel like is the difference there between therapy and coaching?
Well, I honestly do think that there's actually a fair amount of overlap. I mean, both are really listening to their clients and helping them to make some changes in their lives. But there tends to be, it's different flavors of something similar. My experience coaching tends to be much more direct, as in giving specific steps to achieve goals. Let's say, you know, I'm thinking of like a very stereotypical, say, sporting coach, where that person says, okay, you're going to go do, you know, run 10 miles, and then you're going to do this many push-ups, and then we're going to run drills here. You know, it's not quite like that with the marriage coaching, but it does, the flavor tends to be a lot more direct, whereas therapy tends to focus a lot more on kind of an introspective approach. So let's kind of examine things on the inside. And once again, there is some, you know, therapy models that are a little bit more direct. There are some coaching situations where you need to be a little bit more introspective, but it tends to lean a little bit more in each of the respective directions. Coaching tends to focus on much more concrete solutions, like this is what needs to happen, and this is the next step that needs to happen after that. Whereas therapy tends to focus on examining problems and helping clients come to their own solutions. I can remember my professor telling me very specifically, do not tell your clients what to do. Help them, you know, help them become a little bit more aware of what's going on and help them come to their own solutions. And she went on and said, oh, it gets into this sticky situation where they're, you know, if let's say that they misinterpret your advice and it comes out wrong, well, then you're liable for that. Well, you know, coaching, we just kind of get around that and we say, okay, this is what you need to do. A little bit more direct with concrete solutions. It's, in my opinion, kind of tends to be the difference between like a guiding hand, like, hey, why don't we look at this thing over here, versus a pointing finger, like, see that there, that is the problem, and that's and this is how we're going to fix it. That's the difference between therapy and coaching, in my mind. And in my opinion, I do think that there are many situations, especially when you have a crisis, that needs that much more direct approach, where you have someone who's been through this before. Like Heather mentioned, we've had thousands and thousands of clients go through our program. Someone who's been through this before and says, hey, I recognize this. This is going to be your next step right here. I think there's a very good place for that, especially in what we deal with here with High Thrive Coaching, which is quite often a crisis. Heather, I noticed that you put in here a comment from one of the members of the Thriving Marriage. Did you want to share that there?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, she had commented here. She's it's gone through our coaching program, and she weighed in here on the poll and said, every therapist I went to made matters worse, except for High Thrive Coaching. Which taught me to pretty much fix the problem and enabled me to heal the marriage without a therapist or even my spouse's participation. Mm-hmm. And then someone asked, you know, is your marriage restored? And she said, yes, as of last year. And so we know this client, Mark, and that's absolutely true. I think one thing that's a difference there is that oftentimes what we do is we focus really deep on the root issues rather than symptoms. And I think oftentimes you'll find therapists that focus on the symptoms, like, okay, there's an affair going on. Let's just stop the affair. That'll, you know, we just need to end the affair and that'll fix everything, right? Or they tend to kind of take sides, you know, that kind of like take one spouse's side and pit it against the other person. And I've seen that happen in some marriages of some friends. Their therapist took sides and then the marriage didn't resolve itself. It ended in divorce. And so unlike that, we really want to uncover where is this really coming from? What are the root issues that have caused this to manifest in your relationship? That way we can solve those deeper issues inside yourself so you can be happy and whole and thriving and in the marriage as well. And we really try to apply our PATH process to the coaching itself. Like PATH stands for perspective, right? The P. And we really want to be able to understand as much as we can both partners' perspectives. Even if they're not willing to start with you, which is most of the time, right? Yeah. We are still wanting to uncover as much as we can what their perspective would be and guide you as the client on how to understand your spouse's perspective as well. So, yeah. So why is this important, Mark? Why is this important to understand the differences and to help people make a really good choice for them in their situation?
Yeah, like here we are, like Heather and I are talking about, well, here's the difference with coaching and here's therapy. But I think the question that you asked there is important because, like, why should that matter at all? I talked about a little bit how a lot of the niche that we've created is this, you know, being able to help our clients that are in crisis. Now, this is not all of our clients. I actually really appreciate being able to talk to a client on occasion who's like, hey, you know, we're doing all right and we just want to be better. I love having those clients. It's a nice change of pace. But quite frankly, I think a lot of the audience that we've created are in these crisis situations where one partner might be out the door, might already have filed for a divorce. You know, it might just be a matter of time before everything gets finalized. Time might not be on the side of our client, is what I'm getting at here. And what I frequently see is when it gets to this point, the couple is so entrenched in certain patterns that are really making things worse, and it's becoming increasingly more tense and negative. And we could explain why. I mean, just very briefly, if it's gotten to this point, the spouse who's leaving has to justify their decision to leave. And so it's really easy to say, okay, I'm going to be a little bit more angry and I'm going to blame my partner a little bit more. Maybe not consciously, but this is the tendency, is that it's going to tend to get worse as one partner is considering leaving. And why this is important is there's a need for more immediate solutions. We can't meander a little bit and say, okay, well, let's take a look at this. Let's be introspective here and figure things out. Let's kind of take our time on some solutions, because we don't often have that luxury. Many of our clients have a partner who's actively seeking a way out of the marriage. They might not be vocal about it, but they might have plans. We have a fair amount of, I'd actually like to look into this and see what kind of percentage is already like this, Heather. Maybe we need to do some internal polling, but we do have a fair amount of clients who are already separated, right? Mm-hmm. They may have filed divorce papers, or maybe just they've stopped talking. And like, we get to this point, and like, I can hear the desperation in my client's voice, and just like, okay, what do I do? My wife, my husband just isn't talking to me anymore. And so there is a need for very specific steps to slow this down or to reverse it or to really stop the bleeding, essentially. You know, my opinion, like, I know I've spoken with some other experts. I've been on some other podcasts or radio interviews, and sometimes the question comes up, why even bother saving this at this point? Mm-hmm. Like, we have someone who wants to separate. We have a partner who maybe wants to leave. Shouldn't we just let them go? In my experience, you know, that should be considered, but like my experience, a lot of times these relationships that we are saving simply have deep-seated patterns of misunderstanding. The problems aren't really that terrible. It's these misunderstandings and misinterpretations, meaning there really isn't a need to separate. And if we can prevent a lot of that heartache or collateral damage, then all the better. That's why I think, like, why this is important is because we are much more equipped, or we focus a lot more on this crisis sort of situation. And frankly, you know, I'd much rather go to someone who is used to the problems that I'm seeing rather than someone who has kind of a general knowledge of that situation.
Right. We've made that analogy, but it fits in super well here of the doctor analogy, right? If I had gone to my general doctor about my cancer tumor and the pregnancy and everything and just gotten really general advice, right, then that would have been a very different experience for us and a different result than what I did, because I actually was led to find one of the top 5 experts in the world that knew exactly how to treat young women that were pregnant with this type of cancer. Right? So the level of help there and the level of expertise, the level of specific guidance was like, you just can't even compare. Even the oncologists that were just, you know, more general cancer oncologists versus this expert was, again, completely different, because she's like, you know, the advice that they're giving worked 20 years ago. They don't know what we know now because we're at the cutting edge of the research and all the information, right? And we've done this every single day and, you know, helped so many people through this, and we know what needs to happen here. We've got a plan. And so it's a little bit different than, you know, like sitting down in a general therapist's chair and being like, okay, here's this. And like, okay, what happened in your childhood? You know, let's kind of rehash some old problems or give some very general advice, right? Versus how many times we actually sit down with a therapist and they say, okay, here is the root assessment that we've done. This is your like diagnosis of what's happening in your marriage. And here's the prescription. These are the exact next steps that you need to take. And then following up and giving you the accountability to make sure you did them. And not only that you did them, but you did them in the right way. Right? So very, very different. All right.
So I'm over here. Yeah, no, we've been talking a lot about these differences here. I do want to say, though, that there is certain scenarios that tend to turn out a little bit better. And I want to know if you could comment on that a little bit, Heather. Like, who's really going to benefit a lot more from more of a coaching sort of perspective?
Yeah. So we always want to do that root assessment with you. And we uncover, you know, that there is health here. There is, you know, a viable relationship at the end of the day. And if that's not your case, then we will direct you in a different direction of someone that would be better to help. But above all, we want to look for people that have a couple different qualities. And some of those are that they're coachable. We have taken on some clients that were full of desperation or their own agenda. And unfortunately, we say, you know, this isn't going to work. So you need to find a different way here. But those that listen to the advice, that follow the steps, they do the exercises, they do the assignments, and growth is kind of hard, right? So being willing to go into the growth zone, get into a bit of discomfort so that you can do things in a new way, that's what it takes. There's a little bit of humility that comes there with being coachable. And so knowing that, hey, I've been doing things this way for a long time, it really isn't working for me. I'm ready and willing to learn some new ways of doing it, right? So embracing that change process there, changing those patterns, it can be uncomfortable, right? And then you have to be willing to say, I'm willing to do some new things so I can get some different results, even if it's uncomfortable.
I can remember a specific client. Actually, this is a negative example. I can remember a specific client a number of years ago who they were having issues with a lot of conflict in their relationship and just having lots of arguments, and then this anger would spike. And I looked in, I was examining what was going on, and then there was this casual mention of how the husband only got, on average, about 3 hours of sleep every night. Hmm. And I said, oh, well, there you go. There's going to be a lot more conflict and anger if you're not taking care of yourself. So I actually want you to take care of you. Let's try that first and see if this has an impact on your relationship. And oddly enough, he actually refused. He said, that's not going to happen. and he kept resisting. And so we tried other solutions, but I kept coming back to this idea. I was like, you're having a lot of anger problems yourself, and you're having a lot of conflict because you're not at your best. And he just got, he would get upset about this. And this, so I mean, in the back of my head, I was like, okay, well, this probably isn't going to turn out well if he can't listen to advice. And obviously, like, I'm going to try. And I tried different approaches. I tried to help him come to this same conclusion himself. I tried lots of different things, but ultimately he wouldn't listen to advice. And ultimately, the last time I heard, they were heading for divorce. And I'm guessing that that's probably where they went. This was some years ago. So, like, you got to be coachable, just like Heather said.
Right. And with that, sometimes, you know, the best moments of transformation, I guess, in my life has been when you kind of get like, like you smack your face into a wall, right? Your coach says something to you and you're like, ah, that hurt, but I needed to hear it, right? And I needed to recognize that because why? When we're in a lot of pain or in a lot of unhealthy cycles and patterns, we're just so stuck in the mud of that situation. And we just keep doing the same things over and over. And we're like the hamster spinning the wheel. And we do not have the perspective that an outside expert has on what's really going on. And sometimes we need to be called out on and said, you know, Heather, this isn't working. When you do this, it makes Ben shut down, and that you can't keep doing that. You know, you got to approach this in a different way. And then you feel a little sucker punch, but if you're really wanting change, then you're willing to do that. And that's why we have a coach sometimes, to give us that, you know, little smack upside the head, like, yeah, out of love. And so that we can actually heal and improve and progress. And knowing that they're there because they want us to succeed and they want us to have that healthy outcome. Another thing that's really important is actually doing the work. A lot of people say they want change, but it's hard to change our patterns. Did you have something you want to say, Mark?
No, I actually was just
okay. Just making sure. All right. So, you know, the most successful cases and people that we see are people that study the material, they go through the course, they go through the training videos, they do the exercises and the assignments that their coach gives them. They do, you know, a meditation or something, even if it feels a little weird or different, because they're like, I want something different in my life. And they go the extra mile. So those that really succeed are willing to learn with both their mind, like the principles of what we're doing, but actually applying it into their life. So I call it like the mind and the heart connection there, right? They learn it with their mind and they feel it with their heart, and then they get into action to try to make some of these changes. And so they do the work. Like Tim up above in our earlier in our client win of the week was talking about how he sent these new text messages, right? And how delighted he was to see some positive and new results. And I'm going to say with the work part, a lot of you are like, I'm doing a lot of work. I'm working really hard to save my marriage. She still wants out. She's still having an affair. He's still with this other woman, and I'm exhausted. And it's not working, and I'm burnt out, and I don't have anything left to give, right? I just want to give a little caveat there, because yeah, you might be in a lot of action, but you're not doing the right actions, and that will burn you out. So understanding that it is a process, but when you start doing the right actions, you will see positive momentum in your marriage, even with the ups and the downs, as our clients know. But you'll know that you're heading in the right direction, which is going to feel a lot better than when you're just exhausting yourself, thinking that you're doing all the right things, only to find out that they're completely ineffective or backfiring. And then the last thing here is that people who have some hope, who have some belief and some faith in what they really want. The opposite side of this, like what's not a great client and doesn't tend to have good results at all, is when a person is desperate, when they're needy, when they're resentful, victimhood, it's all about them, it's not about me, I don't need a change, they do. Those cases do not tend to work out well until you learn some new emotional processing patterns. So bottom line here, Mark, right? One of them needs to be like the stable, more centered part of the equation between the two of them, right? What have you seen as far as this goes, as far as like having one person be a little bit more emotionally intelligent, maybe is the word, or learn some new emotional things to be more stable in a relationship?
Yeah, so I mean, like we've established, we have many clients whose partner might be seeking divorce now, but what I've seen is if our own client is bringing in a lot of their own desperation or neediness or deep-seated pain, it's not going to go especially well until we take care of that. If both of you are having a terrible time on top of this marriage crisis, on top of someone saying, hey, let's get a divorce, then I just want you to know that it will take a lot of work to be able to get that kind of relationship to a stable place. So it's almost like an extra step. I love the kind of clients who come in and be like, okay, you know what? I'm in a really stable, steady place. I'm going to make this happen. I understand that it's going to take some work. I love those kind of clients because then I can skip like steps like 1 through 5, and I can just really get into some really big results. As opposed to like some clients who are like, you know what, I'm coming in here because maybe I want the marriage to work, but you know, I'm not really not happy with it. So maybe I don't. Those kind of clients, we have to do a whole lot of extra steps. And, you know, I often see that those kind of clients also don't always have the motivation to take all those extra steps. So I'm, you know, not to say that we can't help those people who are not hopeful or who are a bit feeling desperate or needy. It just, you got to understand, it's going to take a little bit more.
Yeah. I would say in our experience, like, you know, a good chunk of them, I always try to like put percentages, but many, many, many of our clients do have a certain level of desperation, neediness, victimhood, and that's okay. Like,
yeah.
Of course, it's easier if you have already overcome those things, but if that's where you are, then that's okay. And we are able to help you to get to a more calm, centered place so that you then can have problems in your life as well. So, yeah. Am I still here?
Yeah. We can hear you.
My webcam, so.
I think your video is out, but I can still hear you.
Okay, cool. All right. So, Mark, what is your, I mean, we talked a lot about our client's perspective here. What is your personal perspective with going through coaching versus therapy? Have you and Jen experienced anything like this in your marriage?
So, I mean, I've been involved in mental health in some way for, I'm trying to think now, nearly 20 years. and through that, you know, there's always been like a strong encouragement to participate in your own mental health while you give mental health sort of services. And so, you know, I've certainly done that. I have seen a number of therapists. I've been to self-help programs, you know, sometimes because I really, you know, I was not in a good place and I needed support. And sometimes because I was in a good place and I just wanted to be better. I'm glad to say that that's more like where I'm at today. Like, I'm not afraid to admit, like, Jen and I are actually seeing a life coach right now, or specifically to kind of up-level our relationship. We have a great, great marriage, and we want it to be even better. And I will say that even beyond the therapists and the self-help groups, I've also seen a number of coaches. And I will say that the biggest leaps have always been with the coaches. If I had to like really pinpoint what I thought the big difference was, it always seems to me that coaches tend to go a little bit more outside the box and tend to offer very specific solutions to very specific problems. Almost always I'm able to find some sort of expert that says I can solve this one thing, and it might happen to be that one thing that I want out of my current life circumstances. And so, like, you know, Heather, like, we, you know, when we first started the business, we had a business coach to help us, you know, get the business started. We had another business coach to kind of get things rolling and more stabilized. Like I said, I've had I have this life coach to help me with specific areas of my life just to up level this. And that's what I've always really appreciated about the coaching is I can say, okay, I can go to this specific expert. I know that they have experience solving this specific problem. And then there tends to be more support. And just, you know, similarly, our program does the same sort of thing. We offer more support than a typical therapy office does, with daily group meetings, with lots and lots of email support, with additional trainings and videos and workshops, because we just specialize in this one thing. So in my opinion, I've enjoyed being conscious about seeking out specific coaches for the specific problems that I want solved. And that's been a better experience for me. And this is over 20 years of mental health work, seeing both sides, both like being the client and being the provider. I've appreciated the coaching side of things much more.
Right. I have to agree. For me, one thing that's just been really, a motto in my life or a guiding principle is that results don't lie, right? Sometimes we can say, oh, I've got the solution, hand over your money, you know? But when you look at their life, the results won't lie. So if I'm wanting to have a certain level of health and fitness and vitality, I'm going to go to the person that has that in their life, right? And I'm not going to go to the person that looks sickly or, you know, unhealthy and doesn't have a lot of energy. And you know, it just doesn't make any level of sense to me. And so one thing is that results don't lie. And so if you are seeing positive results in what you're doing, whether that be therapy or coaching, awesome. And if that's what you want, stick with it. We're not here to try to convince you or to sway you to the dark side of coaching or anything, right? We're here to just be a light for those that are looking for this light. And if that's you, then encourage you again to take some action. Which is with our personal experience, is that we have had our oldest children in family therapy for a long time. And we finally found a therapist last year, and she does both therapy and coaching. So we started with the therapy because insurance pays for it, right? I mean, come on. So many people are like, that's where I'm going to go because it's cheap. Well, okay, honestly, cheap isn't always good, right? It just isn't. Sometimes it is. So that caveat being said. And she's like, you know, I really feel like coaching would be better. Would you be interested in that? And I was like, okay, sure. So then she had videos, she had a program, right? Training, additional support materials. She had a group that I could go to with other parents that had children experiencing the same challenges. And the coaching that she did with the kids was like, all right, this is what we're going to do today. And this is what I want you to work on. And then we're going to report about it next week. And the leaps and bounds in the same person were phenomenal. I was like, okay, as a therapist, you're fine, but as a coach, you're phenomenal. And I was like,
The distinction here is that insurance doesn't like to pay for those extra services, and all those therapists are beholden to the insurance companies.
That was what she told me, because I was like, Janet, how are you? You know, you're a good therapist, but you are a phenomenal coach. And she's like, it's because of insurance. And insurance dictates what I can say and what I can do and the level of support that I can give you. And exactly. So that was the difference at the end of the day. And the results in my children's lives and my lives, like our family relationship, my relationship with my oldest son has been completely transformed the past year working with her as a coach. So that's the best example I can show in my own life of the difference there. So again, encourage you guys to listen to that inner guidance. Sometimes when we think about these things, we get in our analytical mind and we start weighing like pros and cons, cost versus this cost, whatever, right? But at the end of the day, we need to really think about who we want to be and what we want to do with our lives and how we want to look back on this time. This might be the hardest challenge you've ever faced. It might be the most amount of heartbreak or stress you've ever gone through, but 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, how do you want to look back on this time? Do you want that peace of mind knowing that you became a better person despite these challenges and that you can live your life with no regrets because you know that you gave it everything you got? I encourage you guys to think about that. Take some time to really listen to that inner part of yourself and hold fast to what it's telling you, because when you listen to that, you'll never go wrong. All right. Any final thoughts on this? Are we ready for a Mythbuster?
Can you go on to the Mythbuster, I think.
All right. So marriage Mythbuster is that all relationship conflicts can be resolved.
I think this is an interesting idea. Like, even the question is, I think it's a little bit off. Like, for me, this sort of idea begs the question, do all relationship conflicts need to be resolved? And I think the answer is, I'm gonna give an unsatisfying answer. The answer is, it depends. So here's the thing. I do think that some conflicts are much more important than others. We all understand this, right? You know, like, if I'm gonna argue over what we're gonna, you know, where we're gonna go eat for dinner, may not be on the grand scale of things that important. But you know, like, as an example, conflicts that touch on core values, those are the things that really do need to be resolved. These are conflicts that are concerning morality, values, such as an argument over maybe what church to attend as a family, or what kind of life lessons are we teaching our children. And these are the matters that may have an impact on the kind of person you are, or the kind of person your family become, or the kind of family unit that your family becomes. And so, like, the idea of that all relationship conflicts can be resolved is, to some certain degree, I think maybe, but they don't all need to be, but these ones do. Now, what's interesting, though, and I want to make a really good point here, is that what's interesting is that oftentimes we as individuals place a high amount of significance on small or mundane situations. We'll bring back the example of dinner. You know, perhaps your husband doesn't listen to your idea of where you should go to dinner. Or maybe your husband, you know, might go against the stereotype and maybe they don't want to have sex some evenings. Or perhaps your wife doesn't support you and how you wanted her to, like, after a long day at work. Now, like, these events don't have to have a whole lot of meaning. They don't have to be anything significant, but in many cases, they do start to shape a narrative about your relationship, and they start to develop or gain significance or meaning. Like, you know, one of the things that I try to be really aware of is this sort of thing in my own relationship. Like, am I placing extra meaning on very mundane things? And in exploring this, I've kind of learned, okay, I'm a little bit sensitive to whether I'm feeling heard in my relationship with Jennifer. So something as simple as deciding where we might go to dinner, I might place more meaning than really needs to if I've, like, put out some opinion and Jen just rolls over that. So, I mean, we've come to a good place with that, and I've learned to speak up for myself when I'm feeling that way. But this is us having resolved that kind of conflict. And what I'm getting at is that not every conflict needs to be resolved. Some conflicts may even end with no solution, and that might be fine. But the significance behind these conflicts does need to be examined and resolved, or come to a place where everyone is happy with it. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, like, dinner might have, like, begun to have a high amount of significance hypothetically in my relationship. The dinner isn't really that important. What became important between Jennifer and I is whether I felt heard. And then for Jennifer, it was whether she felt like she was supported and felt like she was good enough in our relationship. And once we kind of resolve those sort of issues, then all the little conflicts stop mattering so much. It's, you know, it's totally okay if I disagree with my wife about the school that we want to send our children to, which might have a lot of significance. We might never come to an agreement, which, you know, by the way, we do agree on this as an example. But if we don't agree, then we do need to check in and make sure that these disagreements aren't fueling other underlying issues. And in my opinion, I do think that couples that really care about each other, there's a lot of room for compromise and to find solutions that overlap such that these conflicts can be resolved. I really dislike speaking in absolutes, so I don't want to say that every single conflict can be resolved, but I do think that the vast majority have the ability if you look at it from this sort of angle. So that's my answer to this myth.
Right. That's a beautiful, beautiful example.
Oh, no. I bumped my webcam.
We can see you.
Okay. I gotta stop doing that. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. That's awesome. So, again, if you are wanting to experience what coaching is, maybe you've been trying therapy for a while, maybe you've been, you know, trying to solve it on your own and things really aren't working, then encourage you to try that. And you can book a free breakthrough session with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. So you will know for yourself if that is a good solution for you. All right, next week we're going to share with you about habits that end or destroy a marriage. So thank you, Mark, and thank you everyone for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day and look forward to seeing your marriage thrive.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.